This is the Black and Blue Report presented by ABC Insurance Agencies, a better choice for insurance. Now from Studio B, or wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's John DeShazer.
Well, welcome to the Black and Blue Report, sponsored by ABC Insurance. And what you hear is not a test. I'm not rapping to the beat. This is John DeShazer. Are you laughing, Caroline?
Yes, I'm laughing.
This is John DeShazer, and I'm sitting in for Sean Kelly. That's why I say what you hear is not a test, because Sean Kelly is on the road with the Pelicans. He is generally your host, and Daniel Salerson, his trusty fill-in from time to time. Daniel is ill. He's day-to-day like a basketball player, and we're hoping for Daniel's recovery soon. So myself, John DeShazer, and Caroline Gonzalez are sitting in for those two, and we are here with the Black and Blue Report. And Caroline, good to see you.
Hey, y'all.
That's the best she's got to do. Well, you know what? I guess sometimes it's better to be silent than not say anything, which I guess that's the same thing, silent and not say anything. But we're here on a Wednesday, so that means it's Wesley Wednesday. David Wesley will be joining us a little bit later in the program to update us on all the news and his opinions on the Pelicans, who dropped a difficult one last night against the Wizards.
Was it difficult?
Well, it's difficult if you're a Pelicans fan. I mean, anytime you lose, it's difficult. So, you know, they dropped a difficult one, and they're in the middle of a four-game road trip. Have already lost the first two, so they're going to try to finish this thing out with a back-to-back against Orlando and Miami this weekend. And the Pelicans need some wins. They're 15-16 right now, so they need to get back on the winning track. And we're also today going to have a little talk with former Saints. We don't want to call him legend because, you know, he hadn't gone on to glory or anything. But former Saints standout Reggie Bush, the first draft pick of the Sean Payton era, number two overall pick in 2006, the Heisman Trophy winning running back from USC, and Reggie Bush a part of that 2009 Super Bowl team. We know that he was a spectacular runner, receiver, returner for the Saints, and now officially announced his retirement and wants to do so as a Saint. So I imagine he would do one of those traditional one-day contracts with the Saints so that he can officially retire as a Saint. And the New Orleans community certainly glad to see Reggie Bush have those feelings toward the Saints and toward New Orleans, because he also mentioned maybe perhaps moving back to New Orleans and living here. So, you know, we're always glad to add to the community. Caroline, did you see Reggie Bush play? Are you two? Caroline's kind of young, folks. So, you know, she's not as old and grizzled as I am. I'm probably about twice her age. I hate to admit that. I don't look twice her age, but I probably am. Did you ever see Reggie Bush play?
I did see Reggie Bush play. I watched him a little bit with my dad growing up, and my dad always commented how great of a player he was. But, you know, I watched him. I was a fan. You know, growing up in Dallas, I was more of a Cowboys fan, so I have to admit that. But I was able to watch Reggie. I wasn't that young.
Okay. All right. I just didn't know, you know, because sometimes you just don't know with these young folks. Now, what do they call you guys? Millennials or whatever? You know,
I'm just old enough to where
I just call you young folks. I don't do the whole millennials thing, you know, because I don't keep up with all
just
the hip terms.
Because you're an old head doesn't mean you have to hate. Okay?
I'm not hating. I'm just spewing facts. That's all. What you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. So we also have to drop this on you. The Saints Super Bowl ticket sweepstakes has begun. It actually kicked off yesterday, December 19th. It will conclude on January 3rd, 2018, next year. The winner will be selected in a random drawing on January the 5th. Now, that's all the particulars out of the way. Here's the good stuff. This includes a three-night trip for two to Super Bowl 52. That's scheduled to be, obviously, in Minneapolis on February the 4th of next year. And the trip consists of round-trip airfare for the two, a hotel room, and two Super Bowl tickets. It is a package that's valued at $3,500. I will probably be applying for it right after this show to see if I can be the winner. Well, you know what? I take that back. I won't need that package because the Saints are going to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I'll be going with the digital media department here
at
Saints camp. Yeah, Caroline thinks she's going too, but we got
news
for her.
First class.
She ain't going. She ain't going.
First class. Order my champagne now.
But we dropped that on you just so you can start getting involved with the sweepstakes. Check NewOrleansSaints.com for your information on that. And certainly look forward to whoever it is. That's a significant package to win. So that's a huge thing. And we'll be back, though, with our talk with Reggie Bush here coming up.
In 1907, Dixie Beer was a balanced, refreshing lager, brewed with love and top-quality ingredients. It would grow to become something that connected us, the neighborhood beer of every New Orleans neighborhood. And now, Dixie is back to that 1907 recipe, original and reinvented, just like its hometown. Visit DixieBeer.com to learn more, and always drink Dixie responsibly. Dixie Brewing Company, New Orleans, Louisiana.
What is big? Big is Drew Holiday, red hot from the perimeter and ice at the foul line. Big is DeMarcus Cousins, a 6'11 defensive flamethrower that vaporizes man-on-man coverage. Big is Anthony Davis, a laser-guided missile of athleticism aimed at the rim. Come see the Pels do battle against the Brooklyn Nets Wednesday, December 27th at the Smoothie King Center. Visit Pelicans.com for tickets. New Orleans Pelicans, do it big.
We're talking Saints football on the Black and Blue Report.
When you think of Reggie Bush, obviously you think about his draft status with the Saints if you're a Saints fan. And Reggie Bush, the first draft pick of the Sean Payton era, number two overall. And the memory of that is, you know, the Saints had the number two overall pick, and nobody knew that Reggie was going to slip to number two. Everybody thought he was going to be the number one overall pick, but the Houston Texans decide to swing a deal with defensive end Mario Williams. They signed Mario Williams before the draft, and Reggie Bush slips to the Saints at number two. And it's significant because Reggie Bush essentially was the face of the franchise in the beginning. We know that Drew Brees now carries that mantle and has really since 2006. But in the beginning, Drew Brees was really an injured free agent that the Saints were able to sign. He was still doing his rehabilitation. Drew Brees then was not the Drew Brees that we know now. And Reggie Bush was a huge, significant name in terms of stirring interest and the guy who supplied some electricity to the city in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. So Reggie Bush, a guy now who is retired from the NFL, as we mentioned. And the good thing about Reggie Bush is he wants to be retired a Saint, and Reggie Bush is coming home. Reggie, I guess the first question would be, why do you want to retire as a Saint?
Well, this is the first team I was drafted to. Spent 5 years there. Had five great seasons. Won a Super Bowl there. You know, we made a lot of history in New Orleans, and you know, I always have a special place in my heart. So, New Orleans is one of my favorite cities. Not only because I was drafted there, but just in general, it's such a town as full of this rich culture and great people, awesome fan base. And it's very unique. It's a very unique city. So yeah. I love everything about it.
Is it, I guess, somewhat of a homecoming type experience from a standpoint of, I guess, coming full circle career-wise?
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Sorry. No, yeah, what'd you say?
Okay. I said, is it more or less a homecoming situation, I guess, coming full circle career-wise?
I guess so. You know, just being able to come back and retire as a Saint, you know, so I was extremely special. And again, like I said, we made a lot of history there. So yeah, it does feel like somewhat like a homecoming.
You know, what were the things, I guess, you missed the most about New Orleans once you departed and had a chance to reflect a little bit?
The food. the people, but I mean, right off the bat, food, man. Listen, I've traveled all around the world, and you know, a lot of different cities, a lot of different cultures, places, and to this day, New Orleans is still some of the best food I've ever had in my life.
All right, I gotta ask Reggie, what was your favorite? No, I can't even say favorite food because you can't just pick one. So what if you had to pick two or three, what would be your favorite dishes that you miss the most?
I know it's a hard question. Well, I'll tell you what, like I hate oysters. But the oysters from Drago's and, you know, some of the places how they cook those oysters, man, those are amazing. And I literally will not eat oysters anywhere else in this world except in New Orleans.
Do you like them raw or char-grilled?
Char-grilled.
All right. There we go.
Now, Reggie, you're moving on and transitioning in your career to now NFL Network analyst. But I assume that affords you an opportunity to have seen the Saints a couple of times this year. Just what are your thoughts on this team now?
I mean, they're special, you know. And Ingram and Kamara remind me a lot of what me and Pierre were able to do in our time spent there. And you know, those guys are, I mean, they can do it all. And it makes them that much more dangerous as a team because they're taking so much pressure off of Drew in a running game. You know, and obviously Drew's special, and you know, you know what he can do with the ball in the passing attack. But I mean, I've always felt and I've always known that in order to be extremely effective and dangerous, you have the pass and the run go hand in hand, and you have to have a balanced attack. And so, you know, taking a lot of pressure off of Drew is the reason why they're in the position they are right now. It's because they can run the ball, you know, effectively, and then, you know, being able to use Kamara in multiple ways. You know, he's a matchup nightmare for a lot of people on the defense side of the ball.
You know, does that make this team somewhat reminiscent of the Super Bowl team, the fact that they have that balance? I mean, it's been lacking the previous three seasons. I think anybody who's seen them will admit it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the reason why they're successful, you know, right now. And you know, I've always felt that, you know, listen, you know, what Sean is able to do, you know, he's a mastermind when it comes to, you know, getting the ball to his playmakers, putting them in positions to win. You know, he uses, you know, Ingram and Kamara in multiple different ways. But, you know, obviously going back to the beginning of the season, you know, with Adrian Peterson, you know, it just didn't work out. And I've always felt, you know, with Sean that, you know, he loves to have, you know, a stable of running backs, you know, 3-4 running backs, you know, but it also makes it tougher when you use 3 or 4 running backs, you know, for guys to be able to go out there and really produce because their touches become even more limited. So then what happens is, you know, guys are clawing and fighting tooth and nail, you know, for touches. And when they know that the touches are very scarce, you know, then sometimes they can get caught in positions trying to do too much per touch. But now that he's using just 2 running backs and that two-headed monster over there, those guys know that they're going to get a lot of touches, so they're comfortable. And they know that they can, you know, really allow the game to come to them, allow the plays to come to them.
You know, was that, I guess, a situation you found yourself in, you know, when you had that stable of running backs and you guys were here and, you know, it was spread out so much offensively? Did you feel like, you know, from time to time you might have pressed or you know, tried to do a little too much with the opportunities?
There were definitely times, you know, there were definitely years, you know, where, you know, it was like 3 or 4 of us and, you know, we would get, you know, I remember times where I would get 5 carries a game, 6 carries a game. And, you know, that made it tough because, listen, as a playmaker, as a competitor, you know, you want the ball in your hand. So, you know, if you don't know, you know, sometimes when you're going to get those touches and, you know, maybe the 1 a quarter or something like that. And that makes it tough. That's hard for anybody. I don't care how good you are at running back. Okay. How special you are. That makes it tough. So, you know, I found myself in those positions a few times, but, the year when we won a Super Bowl, I mean, we were rolling, you know, even my rookie year, when it was me and Deuce, we were rolling. So, you know, I think Sean's doing a good job right now, you know, with those guys, with Kamara and Ingram, you know, those guys, those are the guys, you know, they know they're the guys, and that's what I would do. I would just ride those 2 guys, man, and give them as many touches as possible, take the pressure off of Drew like they're doing right now, and, you know, the passing attack is there, obviously, and it's going to be even more special, you know, when you can do all those different things.
Hey, Reggie, what do you remember most about being drafted by the Saints? Because, I mean, when we think about you, that 2006 draft, that was right after Hurricane Katrina, the team's coming back, and you were like the face of the franchise. I mean, it was a huge, huge deal here.
Yeah, it was – I just remember, you know, I was excited. You know, I was scared. I was nervous. you know, I was full of different emotions because of, you know, man, I couldn't wait to finally play in the NFL, and then not knowing the expectations of what was going to, you know, be in New Orleans, like you said, 6 months after Hurricane Katrina. And, you know, so there was so many, a lot of different emotions that were going through my body. But I'll tell you the one thing, two things that really allowed me to be, that really made it successful for me. One was the night before the draft, when we found out that Mario Williams was going to Houston. And the Saints had the second pick, obviously, and Drew Brees called me and told me that, you know, listen, he was excited to play with me. He got a chance to play with Daniel Thomason, you know, so he so that phone call really just kind of put me at ease, you know, a little bit more than what I was. And then the next thing that happened was when I actually got to New Orleans, I remember walking into Emerald's restaurant, and the whole restaurant stood up and applauded, and so the city, Drew, everybody really welcomed me with open arms, and that just made me feel good, you know, and that really, I think, put me at ease to any, you know, questions that there might have been at the time, or any kind of emotions that, you know, might have held me back. To, you know, just going out there and being me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know the times I've been to Emeralds, everybody's kind of turned their backs instead of standing up for me. So
I've never been to Emeralds.
Ridget, now that you're transitioning away, what are the things that you miss the most about the game, or will miss the most about the game?
Everything. I mean, scoring touchdowns, running out of tunnels, you know, putting in the work, time, and the effort, you know, in a week of practice leading up to the games, you know, the pregame meals, the traveling, I mean, everything about it, you know. I appreciate the game. I've always given 110% of my effort every time I step on that field, every time I step foot in the facility. So, you know, there was some years where I didn't get the results that I wanted to, but, you know, it's okay. You know, I'm appreciative of everything I was given and I was able to do.
And of course, we got to ask you about the new gig. Now, what do you think about your new spot with NFL Network and how that might shape out?
Well, it's for me. You know, listen, I love the game and I'm passionate about it. So, for me to be able to go on TV and basically talk about what I've been doing my whole life, you know, that's pretty easy. So I enjoy it. It's fun. It kind of keeps my mind sharp and still focused on, you know, football. And yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, you were always one of those guys we thought might make a pretty good transition to the media side. So welcome to the media side.
Thank you.
Well, that was Reggie Bush. Interesting talk with Reggie. When we return with the Black and Blue Report, we will have Sean Kelly with David Wesley for our Wesley Wednesday look at the New Orleans Pelicans.
Now, Uber takes you couch to courtside at the tap of a button. Heading to a Pelicans game? Uber helps you pass on the parking and focus on the fun. And if you're still an Uber rookie, you can get $20 off your first ride with code PELICANS18. Uber, a proud partner of your New Orleans Pelicans. This Pelican season, the entire family can do it big with the Pierre's Party Pack presented by Cheetos Popcorn. Pelican's ticket packages are available for select home games and include three or more tickets, combo meals, Cheetos Popcorn, and an on-court free throw experience with Pierre the Pelican, all for as low as $54. The next Pierre's Party Pack night is December 29th against the Dallas Mavericks. For more information and to plan your next big night out with the gang, visit Pelicans.com today.
Guess what day it is?
Hump day?
Well, yeah, and it's Wesley Wednesday on the Black and Blue Report.
We mentioned earlier that the Pelicans are in the middle of a four-game road trip. They've lost the first two of those games, hope to finish out this road trip by splitting the last two with a road trip to Orlando and Miami. And Sean Kelly sat down with David Wesley for our Wesley Wednesday.
John and Caroline, thank you very much. And greetings from a coffee shop in our nation's capital. The team is still in Washington, D.C. They'll head to Orlando later today. And we haven't had a road coffee house Wesley Wednesday in a while, have we, my friend?
No, we haven't. We've had a lot of games at home, or at least at home, on a Wesley Wednesday. This is not a good Wesley Wednesday. It comes after a weird loss in Washington last night.
I walked into the coffee shop and you growled at me. I knew something was up.
Yeah, some losses, you know, put a bad taste in your mouth. And, you know, you watched that game last night and there were so many insane runs of teams that just seemed like the other team just stopped playing, and while the other team just played for about 7 minutes, and then the other team stopped and another team took over. And certainly the Pelicans had a chance last night, as uneven as they played, and came out in that third quarter. You thought, okay, we got a game. And during the game, I was texting back and forth with a friend of mine, and, you know, that song, Don't Call It a Comeback, they're back in the game. I never thought they would get back in the game. Here they are, and then they went to sleep again.
You said last night after the game, when we visited, you said, I've never seen anything like that before. And for you to say that, that's a statement.
It was a weird game, and, you know, just when you figured, okay, this thing is over. This is one where you pull out every story you know and just start talking about something other than the basketball game. And what I didn't know and didn't realize is in that second quarter when they made their comeback, it was all free throws. I mean, I knew they went to the free throw line, and great job by them getting to the free throw line, shooting 40 free throws. But they weren't scoring. They were putting the ball in the basket. And erase a 25-point lead early in the third, and then before you know it, they're down 23 again. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in all of the times I've played in the 6 years I've been here.
It's interesting, David. You know, the team's now 4-6 this month, and you've had these wild swings in every one of those losses. Usually it's the Pelicans who have been up by double figures, end up not finishing. Last night, as you mentioned, both teams were all over the map. And now a game under 500 overall. I feel like the conversation is just a hair trigger away from being different. If we were talking and the Pelicans were 16-15 this morning, I'd be saying, hey, what's going right with this team here in December? But here they are instead, 15-16. And I'm inclined to say, all right, what's wrong with this basketball team right now? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And when you look at the guys on this team, you would think – even 15-15, 16-15 is underachieving. But as we sit right now, 16-15, you thought, okay, when Rondo gets here, things will get better. I think we're 8-9 with Rondo in the lineup. So this team is under 500, and where do they go from here? When you can't play a 48-minute game, when you can't stop turning the ball over and giving teams easy runouts and easy baskets. I mean, if you look at the stats on the Pelicans' defense just in the last 10 or so games, they're giving up 118 a game, giving up, you know, over 40% shooting from three, and a great percentage. So their defense looks awful. Well, of course it does. When they're turning the ball over and guys are running out getting layups, your defense looks horrible. And some nights it's hard to watch. And, you know, I just don't see how it changes for them.
What questions are you asking if you're a player on this team right now? And what questions might you be asking as a coach? You've done both.
Collectively, do enough guys want to win? Do enough guys want to do what it takes to win? At times you see an effort out there that can't beat anybody in the league, can lose to anybody in the league. And then at times you see and the ball's moving and they're getting stops and they're running out and doing what they're supposed to do and sharing it. And they can beat just about anybody in the league. So, this team is very frustrating. I can't imagine coaching this team because they're so frustrating. And do enough guys want to do what it takes to win? Do they want to run back? Do they want to take care of the basketball? Do they want to give that extra effort? We watched, you know, a couple of games where they simply were just getting beat to the offensive rebound. Just flat out not enough effort. And that's frustrating. You can't really coach effort. And on nights like that, you wonder, you know, and these guys seem to get along. That's the crazy. This seems like to be a fun-loving team. I mean, they may not hang out off the court, but when they're around each other in the locker room, around on the bus, they laugh and joke and play cards like any other team you've seen. And when they get out there and start playing, they're like 12 individuals.
It is the most mysterious team I've ever been around, that's for sure. And here's what's even more mysterious about this team. David, if they go down to Orlando and Miami and win those two games, both are winnable, it's a 2-1 week and it's a 2-1 road trip. I guess 2-2 overall if you take it back to last week in Denver. But then and then you sit there and say, okay, well, what's wrong with that? That's a pretty good trip.
That is a good trip. But when you look at an overall record, you know, and we've said that. We've gone on trips where went 3-1 or you know, won the majority of the games, and you're saying, oh, man, good trip. And then you start looking at the competition. You start looking at the wins, and what does it really amount to? And I think that's the frustrating thing. When you see the talent on this team, is 500 all that this team is capable of? I would think not. And thank goodness the West is so jumbled up, and there's a lot of teams where 500 may get you in the playoffs this year. But I certainly think that this team strives for more, wants more. How do you get it? You know, you start asking, you know, what's the leadership like? Who is the leader on this team? And I can't put my finger on it.
Fair enough. Let's talk about something else. Christmas Day is coming up. It's a big day for the NBA, obviously. I think there's 5 games this year. David, did you play on Christmas Day during your career? It might have been the year you were with Cleveland, right? Or was there more than that?
If I did, it would have been a team like Cleveland. It would have been a team like Houston where I played with Tracy and Yao. But I don't ever remember playing on Christmas.
Well, I guess that takes that next kind of like, was it a big deal for you or something? Because you don't even remember playing on Christmas.
No, I didn't necessarily want to play on Christmas, you know, especially when you have younger kids. You want to be home and open presents. But there have been many years where we left on Christmas. The year I got traded from New Orleans, we left on Christmas. No, we were supposed to leave on Christmas. It snowed. We ended up leaving the next day, flying into Cleveland, playing that day, which should have told me something. Something's not right here. It snowed, and we can't get out of New Orleans. So, and then I was traded the next day and on the 27th.
You should have known something was up with that 18-win team long before Christmas, I think, right?
Absolutely. And, it was a hard trade, but after it's all said and done, thank God I got traded.
Will you watch any of the Christmas basketball this year? If so, is there something, a matchup that intrigues you a little bit?
No, I probably will not watch a – you know what? It just kind of depends. On days like that, I'd much rather watch football. So hopefully there's a good football game on that day. And, sometimes you have to kind of get away from, you know, this long season – kind of rejuvenate the juices and get ready for the next day. And, you know, I think we play on the 27th after Christmas. And, you know, I'll probably spend Christmas, the day after Christmas, getting ready for that game. And on we go.
Big deep breath from David Wesley. So, John and Caroline, that's kind of what we've decided to talk about today. And here's the good news is that there are 2 more games left on this road trip. We could have a much different Wesley Wednesday conversation post-Christmas next week. Let's hope for that, my friend.
Yeah, you know, I'm you know, I'm looking for this team to kind of get on a roll. Win 3 out of 4, win 5 out of 6, 7 out of 10. I think that's where my expectations go when it comes to this team, now that everybody's for the most part healthy, and you know, they have enough guys out there that can get it done. And you know, hopefully in a couple of Wesley Wednesdays, we'll be talking about, wow, the Pelicans and hit their stride and everything's looking great.
I agree. If the Bulls can win 6 in a row, this team can win 6 in a row, right?
I would think so. And you know, you got 2 winnable games here, could start something. But you know, you just never know, not just what team is going to show up for the night, what team may show up quarter to quarter. There aren't any games that you're like, yeah, let's mark this one down, which is tough, you know. And Orlando's not playing great, but they're playing hard. Miami's not playing great, but they're playing hard. And effort and energy gives you a chance. And therefore, you just never know when the Pelicans show up, if that's a markdown W.
Let's just be in the holiday spirit. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thank you again. Enjoy the coffee here today in D.C. And we'll see everybody next week back in New Orleans.
Bah, humbug.
Merry Christmas.
John and Caroline, on that note, back to you. Merry Christmas to you guys. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Now that was David Wesley with his look at the New Orleans Pelicans, his most recent looks. And hopefully the Pelicans will give David and Sean a little something better to look at over the weekend on this last piece of the road trip. Now, Caroline, you know, you've been in the captain's chair today, so to speak. What are your thoughts about what you've seen from the Pelicans this year? And, well, you know, I guess I could ask you about the Saints, too.
I don't know. As far as Pelicans go, I feel like they've just been beating themselves all year. It's like, at first it was a rebuilding year, now we have all these studs that came in, and we're supposed to have a great year, and we are having a great year, but not as good as everyone expected. I think at the end of the day, we're beating ourselves. We have too many turnovers, we're not playing great defense, you know, we shot the ball terribly last night. So I think at this point, the Pelicans just have to look at themselves and say, okay, what are we doing wrong and what do we need to do to fix it?
You know, guys, I should have given you Caroline's resume from the beginning. She played basketball at Loyola. So,
go Wolfpack.
No, that's why. Go Wolfpack. Get out of here.
So 4 conference championships, okay? 4.
So we just, you know, you can't give people some shine, man. You give them a little shine and then they just jump all the way over the road.
Take a mile, JD.
See, that's what happens. But we appreciate you guys joining us here with the Black and Blue Report. Sponsored by ABC Insurance again. We look forward to seeing you on Friday. Well, actually, you'll be seeing us on Friday because Friday is the Black and Blue Live. It's on Facebook. And you have not seen the Black and Blue until you see us live on Facebook. So tune in on Friday. Then we'll go back to the regularly scheduled programming on Monday and Wednesday. But on Fridays, remember, we're Black and Blue on Facebook Live. Please join us. Thanks for joining us today, having patience with us. This is John DeShazer for Caroline Gonzalez. We will see you soon.